Shall we turn now in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It would seem that one of the problems that has existed from just about the beginning were those people who claimed to have special revelations from God and were self kind of appointed prophets and would come in the name of the Lord and prophesy, you know, in the name of the Lord. And it would seem that sometimes they would sort of have uncanny gifts. They could sometimes tell you things about yourself that no one knew but you. And they could then deceive people. And so the warning against the false prophets, don't believe every spirit, but test them, try the spirits to see if they are of God. And he said, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. The importance of testing the spirits. Jesus warned in the Sermon on the Mount, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? A false prophet doesn't look like a false prophet. He doesn't look like a wolf. He looks like a gentle little lamb and might call you his precious little brothers. But within their hearts, they are not looking how they can bless you, and they're not looking how they can feed the sheep, but they're always scheming on how they can fleece the sheep. And they can figure up all kinds of gimmicks in order to fleece the family of God. If you get on their mailing list, you'll find that you'll get all kinds of interesting things. They'll send you little bottles of water from the Jordan River and tell you to, you know, drink it and trust God to do a miracle in your body or whatever. And they have all sorts of of gimmicks. We had a lady in our church. She's now with the Lord. Just a sweet, precious lady. And she would come up to me every month, so excited because Brother so-and-so had sent her a letter. And in the letter, he said that he was praying for her and and she was so excited to get these letters from this particular evangelist and really thought that they were personal letters to her because they use the kinds of equipment that can type your name in every fifth line or so. And so it's deceptive. And in all of the letters that she was showing, there was always that appeal for funds. Our ministry is going through a very difficult time right now, and So we want you to send to us a seed faith offering. And if you will send a seed faith offering, then we will trust the Lord to bless you mightily, and they will go on with the testimonies of those who sent seed faith offerings, and suddenly, you know, they got a windfall and so forth. And why don't they send themselves a seed faith offering? You know, it's just, it's interesting how that there are those that just are not in it for the love of Christ or the love of the work of God, but they're in it for the love of money. So we need to test the spirits to see if they're of God. In the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, Jesus was giving the signs to his disciples of events that would take place in the last days. And he said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many will come in my name, and they'll say, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will deceive many." There is this Sun Yat Moon who claims to be the Messiah. And I can't understand it, how that so many thousands of people are outselling flowers on the street corner and all to support the ministry of Sun Yat Moon, and how they sort of, you know, believe that he is the Messiah, I guess. But I just, you know, who was it? Huck that said there's one born every minute. But then if any of men shall say to you, "Lo, here is Christ," or "there," believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, so much so that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You have probably, all of you, been to magician shows, and you've seen these astounding things that the magicians can do. Always know there's a trick to it, but it's quite amazing, and you stand there sort of amazed at what they can do. Well, there are people who do these same kind of shenanigans, only they pretend to do it through the power of God. And, you know, hold their hands out and let gold dust fall from their hands and different things like that. And they show signs and wonders, but I think that they are really lying signs and wonders. They're skillful magicians, only passing themselves off as prophets. And so Jesus says they will show great signs and wonders, and that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. It's interesting that Paul, as he is giving the signs of the last days, spoke of the Antichrist that would rise on the world scene. And Paul said of the Antichrist, "His coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. For such are false apostles, they are deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So it's no big deal if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end is according to their works." Now, Notice Jesus talking about the last days, talked about these signs and wonders, powerful signs. And Paul also mentions that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, there will be power and signs and lying wonders. Because there are signs does not necessarily prove that they are of God. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, as he is warning about false prophets, that they do some wonder among you. And then if they would then encourage you to follow some other god, they are false prophets. And of course, under the law, they were put to death. We don't do that today. But today, I think that the warnings of false prophets are very, very important, because there is a strong, powerful movement in the church today that is sweeping up many, many people. Some of the big name people within the church seem to be caught up in this emergent church movement. And this emergent church movement is really a New Age movement. It is the invasion of New Age philosophy into the church. And many of these people who now are writing books and have popular books and, of course, are being featured by Oprah Winfrey and others, who are really New Agers. And they have invaded the church with the New Age thought that there is this God within all of us. And so the discovery of the God within and how to go into certain forms of meditation, how to repeat a mantra, and how that you get in touch with that inner God within you, and he will begin to speak to you and guide you and direct you. And people are going for this. And there are those who are sort of channelers for this voice that comes from within and all. And it's a part of the New Age movement. When it was just known as New Age, the church had enough wisdom to stay away from it. But then they sort of transformed themselves into angels of light in order to deceive. And so it's amazing how many churches are falling for this hook, line, and sinker. And so it's something that you need to be aware of. We need to be very sensitive. We need to try the spirits to see if they are of God. You cannot always tell a false prophet by the way he looks. He might look like a sheep, but he's really a wolf. He might be wearing a stiff collar or an ornate robe, but doesn't necessarily mean that he is a true prophet of God. You can't always tell them by their works, for both Jesus and Paul declared that they can show signs and wonders. How then can you tell a false prophet? Well, you can tell by what they teach. If they teach there is another way that you can approach God, if they teach that all roads lead to God, and this is one of the teachings coming out of the emergent church. In fact, there is a movement at the present time to sort of get together with the Muslims. And the moderate Muslims are talking, and the emergent church is talking about the importance of getting down and just putting aside our differences and realize that we're all worshiping the same God. And that's a lie of Satan. We're not worshiping Allah. That's the moon god. We're worshiping the God that created the moon and all of the other celestial beings that are out there in the universe. And yet we see this movement, and that they are embracing Buddhism and the meditation. They say we have a lot that we can learn from our Buddhist brothers, you know, on meditation and mantras and so forth. And it's beginning to permeate the church. They have these labyrinths, prayer labyrinths, and contemplative prayer and things of this nature. And people are just really swallowing it up around the country. And yet we've been warned that what they are teaching you, how to reach God or how to follow, is where the false prophet comes in. There is only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. These people are saying, well, we've got to be broader than just a one-way kind of a religion. And they're pressing for a broader path, a wider gate. And yet the Bible tells us that straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few there are that find it. Broad is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many that are going in at that gate. And so in Deuteronomy, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke. And then he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known. Let us serve them. Then you shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet or to that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is proving you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. False prophets create divisions within the church by their teaching their strange new doctrines. They are self-serving. They are very clever orators, but they are deceptive. Paul wrote in Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses that are contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Avoid them, for they that are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. I have great difficulty with people who are constantly urging and pressing on people to give, and yet they live very lavish lifestyles. They have great crusades. They have a lot of signs and wonders. And they live in $9 million homes in South County. I just can't buy that. I do not believe that a true prophet of God lives in a $9 million home, or even a $7 million down in Cameo Shores. He's moderate. But they cause division by teaching strange new doctrines. And they deny the Lord who bought them. Ultimately, when it comes to Jesus being the only way, they begin to hedge. And they begin to say, well, you know, if a person is sincere and, you know, though they are a Buddhist and all, they, you know, are doing good deeds and thus, you know, God will surely accept them. And these are the marks and the signs by which you know that the person is a false prophet. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately will bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and they will bring upon themselves swift destruction. So where I really get queasy is when I read of these fellows that are promoting the emergent church, and they begin to suggest that, you know, we can learn a lot from the Buddhist, and, you know, they have, you know, been in this meditation longer than we have, and there's much that we can gain. I find real problems when they say, well, Jesus is not really the only way. He said he was, and I'm surely not ready to contradict him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. You hear the phrase, all roads lead to God. All roads may lead to some God, because God is a title of the master passion of a person's life. But all roads do not lead to the true God, the creator of the heaven and the earth. There's only one way to him, and that is through Jesus Christ. And if someone, though they may be very, you know, clever in their speeches, though they may have dynamic personalities, though they may be able to perform marvelous feats that are mystifying to you, if they are telling you that there is another way to the God who created the universe, then other than Jesus, they are false prophets. Not hard to discern that. Denying Jesus Christ is God would make person that and would make Jesus something less than God is another mark of the false prophet. The Mormons, who say that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, or the Jehovah's Witnesses, who say that Jesus is Michael the archangel, making him something less than God, they are false prophets. As John writes in the first chapter, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. In John 1:14, he wrote, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, I think that that's very clear. I don't see any ambiguity there at all. It's just, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Very clear. But then you go down in chapter 1, and John said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John identifies the Word for us as Jesus Christ. And the Word was God. And that's very definite and very clear. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Now, how clear can you be? God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels and preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and caught up into glory. To deny that God came in the flesh, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he came in the flesh, is the sign of a false prophet. In fact, John is a little stronger than that. He said they're the Antichrist. In the beginning of this little epistle of John, verse 1, chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, who do you suppose that would be? Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have gazed upon, and our hands have touched of the Word of life. We touched him. He came in the flesh. Peter describes their method of operation. He said, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. But the idea there of use of feigned words, they make merchandise of you, or they rip you off. So John says, beloved, don't believe every spirit. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. So we can know the true Spirit of God by their testimony of Jesus Christ. Hereby we know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. It would seem that John has the teaching of the Gnostics in mind as he is writing this. The Gnostics pretended to have secret wisdom, secret documents that delve into the deeper truths and so forth. And according to the Gnostics, everything that is physical or everything that is material is evil. Only in pure spirit is freedom from evil. Everything that is of the flesh, you're sitting on evil chairs, and I'm behind an evil pulpit. Everything that's physical is evil. And so, because everything that is physical is evil, Jesus could not have been in a body of flesh. Nor could God have created anything that was evil. Therefore, God did not create the universe. There were emanations that went out from God, further and further, until there was an emanation so far from God that it didn't really know God, and that was the emanation that created the physical universe. But Jesus was pure spirit. They would say that if he walked on the beach, if you would look carefully, you would see that he didn't leave any footprints, because he was a phantom. He was a spirit, because he could not have, and that the anointing or the Christ came on him at baptism and departed from him before the cross. And that basically was the teaching of the Gnostics, that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. And so John is no doubt thinking of the teaching of the Gnostics when he talks about testing the spirits and those that say that Jesus did not come in the flesh. But you could take that one step further. Jesus being God is saying God did not come in the flesh, and there are a lot of groups today and a lot of people today that will acclaim Jesus as a wonderful man. He was a master teacher. And he was an example to be imitated and followed. He was God manifested in the flesh, or he was a liar. He was a fraud. He was a deceiver. You can't acclaim him as some wonderful philosophy or philosopher or some good person. He was either God in the flesh or he was a fake. And so these are the tests. What is their testimony of Jesus? The world will soon be celebrating the coming of Jesus, born in the manger there in Bethlehem, celebrating the fact that the Word became flesh to dwell among us. And this is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And those that teach anything else are false prophets. And the tragedy is there are so many people that are following the teachings of these false prophets. Isaiah, in prophesying the coming of Jesus, said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Jesus said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." The government will be upon his shoulder, Isaiah said. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is God. He came in the flesh. He dwelt among man. And then he gave his life for our sins. In chapter 2, verse 18 here of 1 John, "Little children," he said, "it is the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist will come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Who is a liar?" Verse 22 of chapter 2. "But he that denies that Jesus is the Messiah." He's the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. "Whoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father, but he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." You cannot separate them. They are God, the Father, God, the Son. The word Antichrist can have two meanings. One, it can refer to one who is a false Christ. And we do know that there is coming this man of sin who will acclaim that he is the Messiah. He will be a false Christ, the Antichrist. But then the term Antichrist also is a reference to opposing anti, being against, opposing Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the one that John is speaking about here. Many antichrists in the world. That is, those who are opposing Jesus Christ, antichrist in the world. Paul, writing about the antichrist in 2 Thessalonians, said he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, showing himself that he is God. Now in verse 4 here, John tells us, you're of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome the false prophets and the Antichrist because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Try the spirits to see if they be of God. And with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, there is that discernment that is given to us by the Spirit. And we can overcome the false prophets and the Antichrist, he said, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Again, back in chapter 2, verse 20, he said, but you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. That Holy Spirit dwelling in you gives you that discernment. They sound great, and they're so enthusiastic, but there's something that's not quite right. Listen to that voice. That's the Holy Spirit warning you. In John 14, 26, Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And then in John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify, Jesus said, he'll glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and will show it to you. So, try the spirits, see if they be of God. The Holy Spirit who dwells in you is great enough to keep you from being deceived. As Jesus said, there will be such a strong delusion that if possible, even the elect would be deceived. But thank God that isn't possible if the Spirit of God is dwelling in you and you are really careful and you try the spirits to see if they be of God. Heavy-duty kind of stuff, but it's there and we need to face it. We unfortunately have had our experience of observing false prophets. And observing them as they fleeced the flock of God. Years ago, when we were just beginning in the ministry, pastoring in Tucson, Arizona, I was just a very, very young man at the time. We had a well-known evangelist come to the church. And right off the bat, I thought, this guy is working the people and fleecing the people. One of our elders in the church came to me and he said, you know, he's going to sell me his wire recorder. And he was all excited about the fact that this evangelist was going to sell him his wire recorder. Well, I knew that wire recorders were on the way out, and they were going to have tape recorders. And so I told him, I said, well, you don't want to buy that, wire recorder from him because, you know, that's a technology that's on the way out. You won't be able to get wire for it for long. And so the evangelist said, oh, the pastor's jealous of me. You know, because I have such a popular ministry and all, and he's just a young fellow, and he's just jealous of me. And so this elder in the church bought this wire recorder after I told him not to do it. It was not a good deal. A week after the evangelist left town, the elder called me and said, I can't get this wire recorder to work. What shall I do? And I said, well, I'm sorry. They don't even repair those anymore. But he got fleeced. And I watched this fellow operate, and I saw how that, you know, he was just working the congregation. Would pray, Father, Father, oh, you know how desperately I need some new shoes, size 9.5, and I like black, you know. And so the next night, someone brought him some black 9.5 shoes. Oh, praise the Lord, you know, praise the Lord. I said, hey, no. Thank the people. You made your request known to them, not to God. But I had a real tough time with him because he was working the people. And sometimes sheep aren't as discerning as they need to be. John tells us, try the Spirit. There's a reason why he said, put them to the test. Make sure. Make sure they're of God. It's interesting how that we get mail almost every week of people who want support for their ministry around the world, especially from Africa. And we have a policy of not responding because we have no way of knowing whether or not it's a true ministry. You know, you can write anything. Oh, precious brother Chuck, you know. Been listening to your tapes. Can you send me your library? And you just don't know. You know, you hate to think that you might be missing one, but unless you have a chance to really know their ministry, if I'm investing, I want to make sure that my investment is going for something that is going to really pay spiritual dividends. I want to make certain of that because I believe that the Lord will hold me responsible for the investments that I make in the work of the ministry. And so, test the spirits, John tells us. Not every spirit is of God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. But you can tell, do they really bring you to Jesus Christ, to a real wonderful relationship to the Lord, and then not try and hit you up for funds? It's interesting, in the early church, they didn't really have the New Testament, and there were these roving bands. And that's why John wrote this, because there were these roving bands of fellows that would go around from church to church, and they would come in and acclaim themselves as prophets and so forth, and would prophesy, you know, over the church and over the people, and then would rip the people off. So because the New Testament had not yet been written, they wrote a little pamphlet called the Didache, and it had rules that the churches were to follow concerning those roving prophets that were going around the world, coming into the churches and using the churches to enrich themselves. And so one of the rules was that if a prophet comes, if he stays more than 2 days, he's a false prophet, living off the people. And if he, by the Spirit of God, supposedly, prophesies and says, prepare a great feast, if he eats of the feast, he's a false prophet. And anything that he is doing that is self-serving would be to mark him as a false prophet. So they had ways in the early church of telling, but of course we have the Holy Spirit, and of course we have the guidelines set to us in the Word of God by which we can discern and tell. So we are exhorted. Just test them. See if they are of God. Father, we thank you for the true prophets of God. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful ministry that you are fulfilling, Lord. And we just praise you. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be discerning, that we would not be deceived. And Lord, with so many people today being deceived, denying that Jesus is God in the flesh, how many people, Lord, are following after this deception? How many people today, Lord, are being drawn into this New Age movement that has invaded the church? Lord, help us to be discerning. Test the spirits. Make sure they're of God. In Jesus' name, Father, give wisdom to your people, and we give thanks for it. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to pray for you. They don't charge. Whatever need you might have, our God is able to meet that need and to meet your needs tonight. So we would encourage you to come down and let them pray for you and just receive God's touch upon your life and go forth in the name of Jesus. As we are getting so close to the end, that we might double and redouble our efforts to use the means that God will make available to us to really get the Word of God out throughout the world. Some very exciting things are on the horizon that we'll be able to share with you after a while of a new technology that's going to just open up the opportunity to really reach our world. And I think that this is one of those things for the last days that the Lord has given to us. And as, of course, Jesus said, the gospel will be preached and throughout all nations, and then shall the end come. And surely with this new technology, it is something that can be done very soon, and it's exciting to realize it. And so go with the Lord, go in His strength, be filled with His Spirit and with His love, and don't be deceived. Test the spirits, see if they're of God. I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I was nothing until you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken people, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. You have given life to me. God bless you.